Did everyone have a good day? Quality day? An abundant, plentiful, fulfilling? Because we're going to be talking about abundant life. And I kind of went off on this. I read Jesus's, I was reading the book of John, and then Jesus, when he was talking about, where thieves break in to steal, but I've come to give life, and that you may have life. I've come that you may have life, and that you may have it abundantly. And so I kind of started just digging around this idea, and it's just a well of stuff. So I'm going to I think I found the meaning of life, and I'm going to break it down in four easy steps, and we'll all be better for it. But we talk about quality of life in a lot of different terms. You know, I don't know how your quality of life index was today, you know, but there is a quality of life index for different countries, and I didn't realize there was a new one out. And Denmark is number one for quality of life index. And it's based on things like food and housing and education, healthcare, and things like this. And, you know, then there's Switzerland, Finland, Australia, Netherlands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, down to in the United States. Does anyone know where we rank in terms of quality of life index? We're close. I think that was last year. I think we rose, but we are still behind Iceland, Estonia, Slovenia. We're number 14 as where the United States is for quality of life. So after us, so apparently these people or countries have worse quality of life, you know, like Canada and the UK and France, Italy. That surprised me. Mexico is like 50, India is 58, Russia 67. I had to look at Ukraine just because it's 65. Hong Kong, 69. This was before the thing, so it might be worse now. I don't know. But then I looked up something else in terms of fulfilling life. And there's a study that was done by Abbott, and I think this is the healthcare group. I could be wrong, but it was Abbott Research something. And they surveyed 2 million people about what a fulfilling life is. And then they surveyed them about their lives and where they stood in terms of how fulfilling their lives were. And the article was interesting because they said they revealed the universal truths about the fulfilling life, because so many people from around the entire world, they feel like this is applicable to everyone. And a fulfilling life, to live a fulfilling life, according to 2 million people surveyed around the entire world, number one was family. Number two was success. Number three, giving. And number four was health. And the biggest obstacles to a full and meaningful life were money and time. And they also ranked countries there. Number one, would you be surprised to hear, number one on this survey was China. They ranked highest according to the according to people that said they had a fulfilling life, who believe they had a fulfilling life. But I think they also knew that the social credit score was coming around. So they had to, you know, they had to score pretty high or else they'd be down and wouldn't be able to buy a car or, you know, that's happening now, by the way. I know this is kind of a sidebar, but I think it's profound and disturbing in some ways. Elise and I were watching, she's not here, Elise and I were watching a video, and they were catching jaywalkers with facial recognition, and they put your name and face on a screen at the intersection where you were caught jaywalking. And if you do it 3 times, it stays up longer, you know, 10 times, and it turns up on screens all around. You can watch this. Go Google it and look at it. And their social credit scores will go down for any infractions like that. You pay late payments, your scores go down. You spend too much time on your phone, scores go down. And their quote from the CCP, this is not in my notes at all, but this is really interesting. The quote from the CCP was that their objective was to allow the trustworthy people to have freedom under heaven, and those that are not to not be able to walk anywhere. I mean, basically, not to be able to walk freely anywhere. Because if your score goes down, this is quality of life thing too, but if your score goes down, first you can't buy an airline ticket, and you can't buy a train ticket, and you can't buy bus tickets. You can't go on public transportation. You know, this is social credit score. But they rank the highest for a fulfilling life for some reason themselves. Number two is Costa Rica. Number three was Colombia for people that said they had the highest fulfilling life. Mexico was number four. And the United States, according to all of Americans that took this survey, we fell near the bottom at 65. So there you go. So I figured it'd be better to go to the Bible and talk and look and see what the Bible says about a fulfilling, meaningful, and abundant life, because that didn't make any sense at all to me. So I left you all that picture. I was going to doodle it in my left room here, but I figured I'd just leave it with you to look at it, because quality of life, the fullness of life, I mean, it is a relevant thing. We all we have goals and objectives, and the things that we do, from the jobs, you know, affect our lives, where we live, the communities, what we do with our time, all those things affect the quality of our lives. And it incorporates all these things, from the standard of living and all these other things. But what's interesting, when you look at the terms that are being used, like life goals, having a full life, meaningful life, purpose life, like the book Purpose-Driven Life, you know, having a life balance, work-life balance, and these terms, you know, it's the overall value, you know, of our lives. And the goal being, according to the World Wide Web, is that when you get to your deathbed, you don't have any regrets. You know, that's what they say. I read an interesting piece by Chesterton, who's a preacher from the 60s, I think. G.K. Chesterton, right? I think that sounds right. But he talked about this. He did an essay on the spice of life. An interesting question was, you know, what is the spice? And if you have to put spice on your life, you know, is it because your life is not fulfilling? You know, does it not have flavor? What is it that you're adding to our lives? Because think about the things that we put into our lives to bring us comfort, to entertain us, to amuse us, to consume our time. We're on Netflix, you know, every minute of every day is filled. And do these add to the value of our life? If you strip all that away, what do we have left? And that's a great question. Can you sit alone quietly and just, you know, and be fulfilled and complete? You know, it's a question. Good one. So, okay. So I went through this and I boiled this down. It might not be very scientific or anything, but what it seemed to me when I looked at these areas, when it came to the major fundamental elements of life or abundant life. And I'll say that, but, you know, I don't think this may not fit Jesus's, you know, John 10:10, where he says abundant life. But there, I think he's talking eternal life, obviously. But this is for my study. I just thought I'd share with you. So first one, obviously, is, well, it's about the head or the mind, you know, and knowledge. And number one on here that I found, and I'll show you why here, would be knowledge of God. Number two, and you have to write these down because there will be a test after. And, you know, probably the best verse, and by the way, the objective, if I had to say what the objective would be of doing this way, is I would hope if there's any interest, if you're kind of a nerd on those kind of goals and objectives and things in your life, that you would go back and study it. Because when I did this, I thought, well, there'd be, you know, some scriptures that I could go over. You can't. There are too many. You know, when you look at just Psalms and Proverbs, and you look at life terms around life and living and all this, you're talking about there were 50 in each of those, you know, on average, and many others when you follow it. There are literally hundreds and hundreds. So I might not pick your favorite verse or the right verse, but, you know, bear with me. So Jeremiah 9:23, listen to this, and you may know this. I love this passage. It says, "Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, loving kind, justice, truth on earth." Let knowing God is of all the things that we could know in our lifetime, is there anything more profound than being able to know the Creator of this universe? And I don't know that there is. Imagine that he's given us that privilege to know him, that we could read his word and learn and draw near to him. You know, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." That was John 17:3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." Proverbs 2:10 talks about wisdom entering the heart, and knowledge is good for the soul. And if you just look at Proverbs, I've got a bunch. I'm not going to read all of them. It's probably going on already. But another one, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives this name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God." And what beautiful, you know, words. And then this one here, for the last one, I put truth. Because if you know the truth will set you free. And I think today, truth is more important than ever before. Going on to heart, I'll give you these. Heart is interesting. I've had one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 4:23. You know, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." And what a great verse is that, you know. Watch over your heart, you know, with all diligence. And the springs of life flowing from it, it feeds everything. It fills, it keeps everything alive, you know, the heart. From the heart come our motivation, our deepest values and things. So here in heart, on number one, it's what you value, I'll say. But really, really value. And it also contains what you believe. Number two. And there are, and it makes sense. Luke 6:45, "The good man out of his good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." There's so much that comes out of our heart. What is reality? We can say all day long what we think, you know, or what we think other people want to hear. But when it comes to it, our heart contains those true desires. And it is also our, if I had to say where our life purpose would exist, I would put it here. I don't know if purpose-driven life would agree or not. But I think that is our heart, because our purpose, our heart, also contains our identity. And I'm going to put here who you are. because the love that we share and who we are and the roles that we play, you know, the meaning in our lives, the purposes, we all want to have a meaningful life. And I think we dismiss the fact that there are men and women, husbands, fathers, wives, daughters that have a role, and that the love of the father and the love of the mother, you know, in your role, in your true role, there is purpose in this, and that your purposes are found in those things that you value and that you believe. And I'm struggling to illustrate this, but years ago, before I met Monica, I had traveled considerably, and the guy I was with, he was a deacon at our church, and he did really, really well. I won't give you too much detail. We were traveling. We were at a rest stop in New Orleans, and we were having this big philosophical conversation because he's a great teacher, and I just listened. And as we were talking, he started sharing, saying, you know, I have a really comfortable life. I have this much money. He actually told me. I was shocked. I was a young guy. I couldn't believe they had that kind of money. He said, I have a great family. I have a comfortable living. I have all these things together in my life. And he goes, I feel like my life lacks meaning and lacks purpose. And I was surprised to hear that. But I mean, in reality, it was a tough conversation we were having as we were going along. And I said, sort of, you know, half jokingly, well, at least you have a wife and at least you have kids, and that you get to be a father and that you get to be a husband. And and he broke down and wept for about the next, you know, 30 minutes as it struck him, you know, that he was missing a big part of his life, his purpose and his value, because he was a workaholic, you know, guy, so committed. He was working at the church constantly, taught classes, he was doing the ministry stuff nonstop, and he realized he was drying up, you know, and he wasn't fulfilled and had missed that part, which I think is profound. But I think that's an important part of us as husbands and fathers, to love those around us as husbands and fathers, that we have a role in that as wives, as mothers, sisters, brothers, that in our role and how we love those around us, I think is an important piece of it. I won't read too many more scriptures there. All right, talent. I really connected this to purpose. Because I think this is purpose fulfillment. I'll just put fulfill or completion. Because in your heart you may know those things, but if you, in your hand, you know, with your hands, with your talents, your abilities, and your works, if you don't do them, you're missing out. And I think this talents, I believe, after looking at a lot of different scriptures, that this is very much talking about our talents in terms of work and our jobs, what we do, but our spiritual gifts as well, you know, that we are designed to work and do. We may purpose in our hearts certain things, but if we don't actually do them, they're never completed. There is an emptiness. You know, we're designed to do, not just to know what our lives are. I think this, it's also a spiritual fulfillment, and I also think this is, you know, work-related, like career-related. I'm not going to read a whole bunch of these, but Proverbs 22:29, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Yeah, somebody that is skilled in his work. In terms of I talk about Ethan, and I think he has a gift of talking, even though I can't get him to talk sometimes, but he really is a gifted conversationalist, and you get him rolling. And Proverbs 18:20, I thought about him when I pulled this up, because it says, the fruit of a man, fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. By the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He'll be satisfied with the product of his lips. What we say is important. What we say matters. The words that we use matters. Of course, there are spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans, faith and works. We can look at James chapter 2, and there are many others, of course, with the talents, you know, are a big part of that as well. I'm going to go to walk here. And so by walk here, number one, we would walk by faith. No, I didn't do that one. I did move. Because life is a journey. It is a journey. It's not a destination. I mean, maybe I got that from a bumper sticker. I don't know. But truly, we are called. It's, you know, you look at how many places in the Bible we're talking about the walk, how we walk, who we walk with, and that we're walking with the Lord. And of course, all those things are make an awful lot of sense. We're called to walk by the Spirit. We're called to walk by love. We walk by faith. Walk in newness of life. On and on and on. It talks about walking. But I took this in this sense as I was looking through this, as that we really need to be moving on our journey, that we can't be at our home, because you may know so much about the Lord and sit in your house and not go anywhere with it. You may have in your heart a purpose and find meaning in what you believe and who, you know, you are, and realize I am totally equipped with these talents, and man, I am good at them, and I never left my house to use them, to put them to any use. I think and this walk also, I think, is a big part of our choices. So if this, I could also say these are life choices. Your little guy with a backpack, he can't go down a path without making choices. It's inherently part of the process that we'll be making choices, which roads and which paths we'll be taking. But of course, we do walk by faith. I did put that on here. But he was number two, not number one. And we, of course, are walking, you know, with God. Another illustration in terms of walking and making a change. You know, we talk about purpose-driven life and how we want our lives to change. And, you know, it's like, I look at it like a parked car. We're sitting in the parking lot in that parked car, and the engine is running. It's not in gear. And you can turn the steering wheel. You can think about it all day long, but nothing happens unless you're actually, you know, in motion. It's the same effect here. But if we're not walking, this is our witness, our testimony, our works and our contributions. And obviously this is ultimately where it glorifies God outside of ourselves. The nevers on that left side of your thing. Never alone. Never lost, and it's never ending. It's a ongoing process, and it's always life, a abundant life, if you will, is always full of grace, peace, and hope. Because we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes along the way, but life is always full of grace, peace, and hope. And we've actually kind of just buzzed through Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 in a sense. Yesterday, at work, we buried one of our coworkers. She, last Thursday, a young girl, 28, married for less than a year, took her life. And she, with no clue, no clue. You would never know then that her life, as she had despaired of all things, you know. And given these times, you know, when people are isolated, you know, when we're not connected, how badly do we need the church? There isn't always this one thing, but knowing God, obviously, is a huge part of it. But, you know, we talk about, you know, I knew her. She actually went to church. But I don't know if it was enough to know, you know, that there's an eternity waiting for you. You know, you can tell people that they're, you know, you can tell these things are just words, but in our lives, in our applications, you know, when you talk about the actual meaning, quality, the value of the lives that we are living in application, not just understanding, but in application, I believe it's these things. Yes, we'll know the God, and we can know that. Understanding our purpose and our role and the meaning we have in our hearts and using our talents and abilities is the hands-on part of it that I think is pretty rewarding. Let me read a couple of passages here from Romans chapter 5. It's actually where a lot of this kind of got started. And then we'll be closing here. So in Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God," talking about the peace that we have. And incidentally, that peace that we have with God, it's not just our peace that yes, he's forgiven you of your sins and you know, you're at peace with God and all that. But the fact that he settled this, you know, in terms of a, you know, it's a covenant. It wasn't a, what's another legal term? It wasn't a settlement, you know. It wasn't a truce. It wasn't like compromise. The peace that he provides that we have here is so full and so absolute because he did away with all of it. The agreement was met. You know, he didn't settle for less. You know, he fulfilled all of it. And we have that level of peace with God that is so beyond just our standing with God, but the peace that comes because not only, you know, it's not as though he could just flip that switch back on anytime he wants. It's gone. It's completely gone. And that comprehension sometimes is hard to understand how full of peace our lives truly are. And yet we agonize so much over our relationship with the Lord, the guilt and the shame, you know, that we struggle with, our struggles and our reluctance to go back to the Lord, the reluctance to go to church, our reluctance to connect and confess, to talk, because we don't have a full appreciation of the fullness, the depth of the peace that God has provided us. Like the war is completely over and somebody forgot to tell us, you know, it's like over. Anyway, so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We read this so many times, but the love of God poured out into our hearts. Skipping down to 15, but the free gift is not like the transgression, for by the transgression of the one the many died, and much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the one, on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And so then, let's read 18:2. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even more so through the obedience of the one many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So before death reigned, and now grace, the grace that we have reigns supreme, is the authority, I guess that's probably enough as it is. But life is full of grace, full of peace. The peace part is the kicker. And what that does for our hope, which isn't possible without that peace, that transgression, you know, is gone. We've been justified and made righteous. That's so hard to believe sometimes, you know, given what we have. I hope you find some value in this. I pray that there's something of value to you. I did. I prayed that you'd find some value in it. And if it goes back to, I know this is that the conclusion of this, and this is an invitation, and then we go and we stand and sing. But you know, I don't know if we get together and talk enough about it. Maybe I'm still thinking because I'm like, is there something more I could have said, you know, when I was thinking about a coworker, you know, are we missing, you know, do we just keep going by because of the routines that we have? So yes, there's an invitation to come and stand and come down front, but goodness, talk to people, you know, if there's a need. And I wonder if this wouldn't be worth doing, you know, somebody like know what they're doing, having Mike or you guys do look at what does abundant life look like and study it some more. I would like to, because it went so deep, it's so far beyond, and it seems like there's so much rich application into our lives, you know, in terms of our relationship with the Lord, but also relationship with one another. Anyway, let's stand and sing. If you have any needs, bring them.